All right, guys, welcome to the Toddcast. We are back this week. We have a special guest. This is Rick from Resolute Publishing. Resolute Bliss Publishing. Sorry. I always screw up everybody's name. I'm sorry. And it's been a long, long week. As everybody here knows, next week is our Three Rivers Comic Con, and Justin and I are two of the guys that put it together. And it has just been a crazy, 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 crazy couple weeks. We are just absolutely exhausted already, and we still have about 8 more days to go.
Well, we have everything organized, which
It's
is
true. It's
half the
true.
battle.
It's
Half the
true.
battle
I
is
think we have like
organization.
3 more things to print, and hopefully nobody bails. It'll be great.
Yeah.
But it's gonna be a good time. Rick, thanks for joining us. This is kind of cool. I always love having guests in.
John and Justin, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate that.
I love that Zoom allows us to do this. And it's not just a phone call. Like it's, I love it. I love it. It makes it easy. before we get into what Resolute Bliss does, a key thing that happened this week, that really hit a lot of us in the comic world is the death of Peter David. Peter David, I've talked about him ad nauseum on this show. We've definitely sung his praises a lot in here and on in the shops. And it is it is one of those things where everybody's got like their favorite writers, everybody's got their favorite artists, and he's definitely up there for me. He's got to be top three for me of all time. His X Factor runs were way up there. His Hulk stuff, his Aquaman, it just was so good. Like he was the kind of guy that made guys like Bendis happen, right? Like the way that he could break it down and make you come into a conversation is the way that made that available for other writers in the future to do that. And nobody before him really did that, I think, and really captured it until he really started doing that kind of stuff. But Spider-Man 2099, that's another big one that people sometimes forget that he did. But man, and I part of me is obviously I'm very, very sad, but part of me is very relieved because I know he was hurting in the last couple of years. I know he was ill. The Heroes Initiative was trying to take care of him for a while there, the best they could. And he went through some crazy stuff the last decade. It is it's crazy. So what are your guys' favorite Peter David runs? My favorite run of all time is his second X Factor run, like the X Factor Investigations. That was my favorite run of all time. And the very first issue, that very last page where Madrox kicks the guy off, he just kicks Richter off the building and just goes, "I am the X Factor." Like that's holy crap. That was like the best writing ever. There was another issue way toward the end where he actually explains the relationship between Longshot and Shatterstar. Amazing. I had to read it 4 times to actually understand it, but it was amazing. But that whole run is probably my top tier Peter David for me. So, Justin, what's your favorite Peter David stuff? I'm gonna probably guess it's Hulk, but
Yeah. Well, again, though, he was my first introduction in the Hulk when I was a kid because he was writing during that period of time. And he even kind of doubled down last year where he did the Joe Fixit limited series last year, which was very underrated, but I loved it because it was peak Joe Fixit. It is the image of the gray mobster beating the crap out of the kingpin was like it's exactly how you would think it would go. Two, mobster mentalities combining and ultimately Hulk smacking him like the little boy that Kingpin was compared to the Hulk. That's always going to be peak Peter David for me is his Hulk writing. He took Hulk to another level instead of him just, oh, he's smashing another monster. Oh, he's in a fight with Wolverine. Peter took Hulk to a level of understanding of, he could be more than just a
Diversity.
monster.
He
Yeah,
def yeah, he like broke that
he
next
broke the
level.
mold
Yeah.
and very successfully.
Right.
Yeah, so.
All right. Rick, what's your favorite Peter David run?
So I'm going to take the easy way out here, but I mean it, and Justin kind of hit it. I met Peter David for the very first time at Dragon Con 30 years ago, 25 years ago, something like that. And I was one of those guys, without a doubt, that I actually never read the Hulk. I did not care about the Hulk. I was a surfer and Daredevil fan. I really was. But Hulk was just this one-dimensional, beat it into the ground kind of character. So I just didn't care. And I can't remember who made me read the first Peter David Hulk. And I think Peter David wrote it for what, almost 12 years? Something like that. Crazy.
Yeah.
And I must admit, I am a Hulk fan nowadays only because of Peter David. He gave depth to the Hulk. He's one of those people that redefined the Hulk in a way that is like, oh, this is really cool. So the easy way out, I love every issue he ever wrote of the Hulk because I didn't like anything of the Hulk before he wrote it, didn't care about the Hulk. And now I still find myself picking up issues of the Hulk because of what Peter David did and how he helped create that character.
Yeah, anytime I see a Joe Fixit book, I'll definitely pick that up. Actually, I was in our Ohio Valley store yesterday and they have a Joe Fixit statue for sale still. And I was just like, how is this not gone this week? Like how did someone not just come in and buy this today? I
It's
put
one
it
of
up
the
at the
best,
counter, yeah.
it's one of the best selling Marvel legends
Yeah.
in the last couple of years was they re-released Joe Fixit, and it's better than any statue because at least you can adjust the legs so you can have them stand a little bit better.
Right.
And yeah, that's definitely one of the last few Marvel legends I bought and put it in my Hulk corner. So
Also, just like, you have to think about it, like, how the hell did he think about, well, who would be Hulk's tailor? Like that's the kind of guy that I want to hang out with is the guy who thinks about that kind of weird shit. That's the guy I want to hang out with. That's why I think I love Peter David, right? He would write that kind of stuff. Like he did the Hook Hand Aquaman. He did Supergirl in a like I think that was actually when it became actual Supergirl again. Like it was actually Kara. It wasn't like the Matrix one. It wasn't like the weird other one, like it was actually Kara Zor-El again. Like he just was so good in everything that he did, and I just like, oh man. And I actually read a post from oh, why can't I think of his name? Larry Stroman, about working on X Factor with him, and he said like he's like. I didn't really talk to Larry a lot. Even he's like, we talked less when we were actually working together than we did lately. And he said, but he never had any issues with my work. He never made corrections, no nothing. He said he was the best, one of the best guys to ever work with. And it was like this nice, really nice post. And I was really, it was really touching. And like just to see the outpour from other creators and other shops and everywhere, like just pouring out. Yeah, he's gonna be very missed in a Star Trek stuff, People forget like all the sci-fi stuff he did too. Like I actually downstairs in my house, my wife made me hang it in our bedroom so that our friends who come over don't see it. But I actually, a friend of mine got me a signed page, an inked page out of a Star Trek comic by Peter David. So I actually have a Peter David signed Star Trek page, framed in my bedroom. Yeah, it was really cool. So, all right.
One interruption, because you mentioned Larry Stroman. I just was in the airport the other day and I saw the weirdest thing. Not weirdest, it's just I hadn't seen in a long time. Somebody was wearing a Tribe shirt.
Oh yeah. So they're rebooting the Tribe. They were supposed to launch it last year. I don't think it actually kicked out.
No.
Because it was supposed to launch last year at our show. Because they were at
Oh.
our show last year. And I
One
don't
of our
think
most
it.
popular guests too. People were nonstop, we had good discussions with them.
And it was awesome, but I'm just sad that it never kicked out. I have a Tribe hat downstairs.
Well, I just hadn't seen a shirt in 25 years. All of a sudden to see one was like, well, that's cool. I've not seen one of these. I know what that means.
Right, there's not a lot of people know that. But yeah, Larry was super nice. Todd super cool too. Yeah, like I would totally have them back because like super awesome guys. Just like I would just like to hang out and just have a burger with those guys. Like I don't like
That's
it,
what
I'm
you
like
say about everybody
it's
you
so
invite to
weird.
our
Like
shows. We gotta
it
have
is
them have a
true.
burger. We
It's
have to
true.
take them to
Like
Permani Brothers.
I don't I'm I guess I'm just like that guy that's like I don't want to be like the weird Uber fan that's just like, oh my God, I want to talk to you about your comics. I'm like, I want to talk to you about like your family and like your music tastes and your like what movies you've seen and what books you've read. Like, I want to get to know them because like I want to understand them so that their art means more to me because I understand it, right? Like Justin and I had I had dinner with Garth Ennis. Well, we had not dinner. We had
Drinks.
beers. We had drinks with Garth Ennis and Russ Braun at Baltimore a couple of years ago. And for an hour and a half, we talked about the movie Alien. Like,
Aliens and Predator.
that's
Yeah.
it. That's all we talked about for like an hour and a half, and it was awesome.
It got deep because we started talking about the sequels too, which because eventually you have to move to Alien, then Aliens, and then Alien 3, and then like after that, Garth was like, yeah, I don't watch anything beyond three. He's like, the rest of them were garbage. He's like, but and I'm like, well, I admitted it. I was like, this is bad because you guys like Alien. I'm a Predator guy. I was like, I always liked Predator better. I'm like, I appreciate Aliens. I was like, but first and foremost, I was always a Predator guy. I was like, I just like the tech. I like the fact it's aliens with dreads. I thought that was like the coolest thing ever. I was like, the aliens is just like, oh, you pop out of the chest, cool. Oh, you spit acid, cool, but you don't really do anything beyond that. I was like, meh. But we got into deep discussions. What that was, like you said, it was like 2 hours. We're sitting there drinking and we're still discussing it. I think it was what, Garth, you and me, and then
Russ.
Russ.
It
I think
was really
Jill Thompson came in and she like added to it, and a couple other writers and creators started joining in. We had a
really
whole
funny
thing
'cause
going.
like at one point like Billy Tucci came over and like listened to what we were talking about and just kind of gave us this look like oh no and just turned around. It was hilarious.
Way, isn't it funny that there's always two sides of this? Like, you got to be either on the Predator or Alien side. By the way, I'm a Predator guy. Star Trek, Star Wars, everything. It's like you're definitely on one side versus the other. But I was gonna say, since you're telling that story about Garth Ennis, do you guys know who Matt Wilson is? He did the Dick Tracy variant last year. He did the limited edition for Heroes Con last year, Nottingham, which was really, really cool. So a lot of people forget Matt is, while Matt's an artist, he actually, and I get to brag about this, he lettered my book. He actually is our graphic designer too.
Oh,
He
no
does all our
way.
graphics, designs, stuff like that. But the way Matt and I got to know each other, it's kind of a similar story. I don't care about, I'm not that fanboy kind of guy's like, ooh, I want to touch you, you know, kind of thing. It's like, I want to get to know who you are. And that's how Matt and I came. Look at Justin laugh. I don't mean it that way, by the way.
No, it's I get it because where I'm from Latrobe, Pennsylvania, and Latrobe is known for three things. Arnie Palmer is the birthplace of Arnie Palmer, the golfer. It's the birthplace of Mr. Rogers, and the Pittsburgh Steelers have their summer training camp here every year. And I learned from a very young age being around Steeler camp because I go every year because it's literally 10 minutes from my house. I would go, I met Jack Lambert. I met Joe Green. I met these guys when I was 5 years old, when they were like on their retirement on the way out. And I didn't know who these guys were,
Those are
but
legends.
yeah, Yeah.
I didn't realize until later on in my life, it's like these are the guys that won the Super Bowl. Now, like my era of Steelers were the 90s. It was Kevin Green, Levon Kirkland, Greg Lloyd, you know, all those guys. And you just talk to them like people, and it works. It's across the board, like pro athletes, celebrities, comic artists, comic creators. You just talk to them about, be like, hey, how's your kids?
Yep.
Hey, how are your pets? Because I'm a big pet person. Is like I have my. You might see one of our co-hosts if he feels like getting up on my lap while I'm sitting here on the computer. But you know, it's just little things like that, and then they'll remember you. You're that. Well, either that or you get like you don't see it. I'm wearing my hat right now. I had to re-dye and redo my mohawk, so I'm always known as the blue mohawk guy at our show. So.
Well, and that's going to exactly where Matt Wilson, I started talking to him and we got into music and we didn't talk about anything. We didn't talk about comics or what he had done or what I'd done or anything like that. And we were both Ant fans, if anybody knows what that is.
Yep.
And we got it. He knew the whole catalog. I knew the whole catalog. We literally spent about 3 hours of talking about nothing like that. My cousin who was with me is like, "You guys are killing me. This is the most boring conversation I have ever heard in my life." It's like, man, this is the greatest conversation I've ever had in my life. We're talking about some really cool stuff now, so. That's awesome. Yeah, like I got to meet and hang out and kind of befriend Scott Ian from Anthrax. And like we didn't even talk music the whole time. Like we talked comic books and just nerd stuff and like he has a son who's I think he's holy crap like 13 or 14 now, and we would just talk about like how at the time like he really loved like Guardians of the Galaxy and stuff like that, and it was just all kinds of stuff. So then he ended up doing another show in Pittsburgh, and I actually own I have two of them right here. They're two Scott Ian model guitars, and I was like, "Hey man, I'm gonna bring one of my guitars. Can you sign it for me?" He's like, "Yeah, bring it over." So like, there I am walking in this con with like a case, and it's a flying V, right? So it's a cut. So it's a V case, and everybody's like looking at me like, "What the hell is that?" And I like walk up and I like throw it up on the thing, and he signs it with the thing, and he's blowing it with like a little fan, and we're just bullshitting, and everybody's just looking at me like, "How the hell do you know him?" And I'm just like, "Oh yeah. He buys comics for me." So
Well, I
he's
have to tell one
Daredevil
more then.
guy.
So you all mentioned Billy Tucci just now. So my cousin, who's actually the co-owner of Resolute Bliss Publishing, Resolute is R, which is my name, Rick. Bliss, Brad is his name, and I hope to gosh he doesn't watch this show. He'd be very upset that I tell the story. Billy Tucci is like his hero. I mean, when we say hero, we mean worship hero kind of thing. And so we were at Heroes Con, and I said, well, hey, I got to go talk to, I forgot who I was trying to talk to. He's like, no, you got to go see Billy Tucci with me. You know, I don't know what to say to him. I'm like, dude, and I like Billy, don't get me wrong. It's like, but I'm not. You know, I'm not that big of a fan. I mean, I'm a fan of Billy Tucci. You're not like the guy I worship kind of thing. And I said, dude, I don't want to go. He's like, please. So Brad goes over there and he's just standing there. And Billy's just, I mean, he's got so many fans and he's talking to so many people. Everybody's wanting to talk to Billy Tucci. And I mean,
He was right there on a corner. I mean, he was busy as anything. Of course, I'm saying that I need to go. I have things to do. We're working on a publishing company here. Brad won't say anything. And I noticed Billy's tats on his arm. And one of them was very military. I'm like, Billy, were you in the military? And he's in the middle of like all these people. He stops everybody. Yeah, how do you know? I went, I can tell from that tat. I said, I was in the 82nd. All of a sudden, Billy gets up, reaches out, shakes my hand, says, let's go to dinner tonight. My cousin's like, what the? And I went, well, you wanted to meet Billy Tucci. We're going to dinner now. And so, of course, all we talked about, the whole night was, military stuff, what you got. And so finally, my cousin got relaxed. And I'm like, hey, you can actually sit next to Billy. I don't have to sit next to him. I'll sit down here and talk to these other guys and stuff like that. It's cool. It's all right. So
He's big on Veterans Affairs and
he is.
stuff. He's you know,
Billy and I actually,
and thank you for your service too. Thank you.
thank you.
So
Billy and I have actually started a group. We have not got it off the ground yet. I'll do a little brag here, a little name dropping. We are trying to do Veterans for Comic Books. That's a Billy Tucci and Resolute Bliss thing that we're doing. He knew a guy named General Funkhauser. I hope I've got that right. Who was a four-star general. And what we're trying to do is that shows bring veterans together. They kind of get to meet some different people. Mike Grell, you guys know who Mike is.
I know Mike.
I didn't. He told a great story. He's a veteran as well. He actually said that he drew. This was his story at dinner with us. He's like, I drew the plans to. He was an Air Force illustrator, and he's like, I drew the plans to get us out of Vietnam. I went, that's really cool. He's like, oh no. He's like, I'm very angry about that. I went, how could you be angry about that? That's like a cool thing to say that you were the guy that did that, that your stuff exists in the military museums and stuff like that. He's like, I drew him almost 6 years before it happened. And he's like, I was so bitter about it. Billy tells the story as well. He's like, drug it on for 6 years. He's like, it was all resolved. They came to me, they flew me over there. They said, Mike, draw all this stuff. He drew all the like the pictures of how you leave, shake hands, all that kind of stuff. There's all these however many lithographs there are of it. And he's like, and I was really happy because the war was over and it was ending and I was being a part of the peace process. He's like, and then they just jerked me around for 6 years. He's like, that means they jerked everybody around for 6 years. So he's kind of upset about that. And he's like, I wanted it to end and be over with. So
That
that's Mike's
sucks.
take on it.
Wow.
So.
That sucks. That sucks. Well, we support our veterans. I am not a vet. My grandfather was a vet. He served in World War II. I believe Justin's did too. It's a thing that, not everyone can do it, but you guys that do, thank you so much for your service. So, all right, let's talk about Resolute Bliss. So, I'm gonna pull up the website here and share my screen, and then you can kind of talk about. We're gonna talk about the website first, and then we'll talk about your Kickstarter. Sound good?
Awesome, thank you.
Okay, you can just tell me where to go here, and I will.
Well, if you want to just scroll down a little bit, right there is the sign up now. That's where you can actually go directly to the Kickstarter if anybody's interested to support us. And if you go right under to that video is the Paradox video that is playing on the website. It gives you a little bit of the art that's going on in Paradox 1. Les L. Garner, who also is doing Brides and is actually doing an Oz series for me, did the art for that. But it's about a minute 30 video showing you different images, talking you through a little bit about what the story is about. The video actually below that is a book I just literally got today. That is a crossover book that we are only selling at conventions and signings. So I just literally got it today in my hands. We have a signing this weekend, our official launch party at Nirvana Comics, but we're going to have that at Heroes Con, a couple of other cons that we have. What makes that really cool, that's a Les L. Garner wraparound cover, and on the inside of it is Jay Lee cover. So
Nice.
excited about that. A little bit more down below that is you can actually it's a podcast that we did was our official launch the other night. So super excited. We'll talk about that in a second because you're going to talk about the Kickstarter anyway. So that's where we actually took a picture for posterity's sake, saying here we go. So
Nice.
next, these are our first covers that are coming out. The first one is by Keith Williams, who I think is probably the most underrated artist in the business. He actually did the Warlock Chronicles cover back in the late 80s, early 90s. Tom Rainey did the art. So I asked him, I said, hey, why don't you recreate that for me and use my main character on it? We'll call it the Paradox Chronicles. So Keith did that. He was the inker on that original cover.
Yeah,
So
we
he
just saw
redid.
him at a show a couple months ago, actually.
I'm gonna tell you, nicest guy in the world, isn't he?
Yeah, super nice
Yes.
dude. Yeah.
I
I
have
love
a
his.
cover from him that I can't reveal yet to anybody, but he did something for me and it was so good. I called him up and I wasn't trying to be insulting to him. I said, did you do this? He's like, yeah, that was good, wasn't it? I went, this is like the most beautiful thing I've ever done. He's like, yeah, I was really happy with that. He was like, no, Keith, this is like the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. He's like, okay. Like, I mean, you're a humble guy, so I like that guy. But anyway, so he did our main cover. We're just doing an homage because I was a Silver Surfer, Warlock, Daredevil kind of fan as a kid. So when I met him and we got to talking, I just thought that was a perfect homage for it. The next cover over is by the awesome Jay Lee. Jay Lee and I've become pretty good friends. He's actually got about three or four covers for us that he's done. That is from the Paradox series. I love that cover. If you look really close at that cover, there's a lot going on in that cape, in the horse, the background. He actually put his heart and soul and made that a cover that if people take a little time and look at, they're going to be amazed with what they find out in that cover. So.
That's awesome.
So a little bit
Very,
about what
very
we've got coming
strong
out. These
looking.
are our series. Paradox is our first series. It just kicked off Kickstarter a couple days ago. Well, I know you're going to go to that page, so I won't beat that to death. Paradox, though, a little bit about it. We started Paradox literally 30 years ago with a Boris Vallejo, Joe Michael Linsner covers. I'll flash those up for you in a second. Kind of never really finished the story. About 2 years ago on a podcast, somebody saying, what happened to that guy? Why won't he finish that? And came back and decided to finish it. What makes that story so cool? Eric Treadaway did the interior art. And for those who do not know Eric Treadaway went on to work for McFarlane Toys and is now one of the Four Horsemen for the Four Horsemen Toy Company. So he's a
Good.
genius with what he's done. Most people, when they find that out, they're like, you're kidding. He did art. It's like, yeah, I've got the only art he's ever done in his life, and here it is. And it's awesome stuff. And that's actually a cover of him that he did. Next to that is Moonblade. That is our second series that's coming out. The Kickstarter will go live probably in a couple of weeks. Brad's not done with that. That's actually Jimmy Palmiotti has done a cover for that. So super excited about that. But like I
Sweet.
said, that'll go live probably about 3 or 4 weeks. Under that, we have Oz the Emerald Nightmare. That's a series by me. Les L. Garner's working on that. We're about 3 issues into that. We want everything finished before we actually throw Kickstarters up. So we're about 3 issues into that. It's a totally different story. It's more of a dark horror story, if you will. So super excited about that. Raid is our other story. It's actually going to be from the Heap from the 40s, which is very much the Swamp Thing, Man Thing kind of stuff. I've always been fans of that. Les and I talked about this. We wanted to do a totally opposite version of what has been out there, one that's very angry about everything that's happened to him and his metamorphosis. So that's where Raid is coming from. Then under that, you have 42 Teeth and Savage's Axes of Wolfheart, both Brad stories that he's working on. Those will be coming out later this year, probably November, December. So excited about those. Those are by Brad. And then the last one we got coming out is Gasp Into the Woods. I want to talk about this one for a second. This is my story. Gasp was actually a book that we did several years ago. We sold 40,000 copies. Rick Veitch, Steven Bissett, Drew Hayes, Batten Lash, Mike Cohen, me, we were all in that book. Gasp actually stood for Giant Anthology of Small Publishers.
Nice.
It was our goal to promote small guys and try to get them a little popular. So I'm kind of bringing Gasp back. It won't sell 40,000 copies again. That was a pure fluke. It was, and think of all those names. That's why that sold so well. But pretty happy about this. It's going to be a horror series. John Templeton did the original cover for Gasp, but it's going to be Les Garner's going to do this cover. So excited about that. That one's supposed to hit actually a little sooner than we thought. It's actually already done. It's a one shot, but it's a 40-page one shot, but it's going to be a continuing series. And what I mean by that is each issue doesn't build on the other issue, doesn't build on the same storyline, but it's all in the same kind of universe.
Awesome. Did you say John Tottleben? Like,
Yeah, he
oh,
did
that's
an
awesome.
original cover.
He was at our very first Three Rivers Comic Con ever.
Awesome.
He's from Erie, PA. He's like 2 hours north of here.
Well,
So,
actually, if you'll keep that up for one second,
sure.
I'll show you something and you can flip back to me.
Sure. Let me.
What? Sorry. Oh, here we go. So if you want to flip back to me for one
Sure.
second, hopefully you can see that. That's a little glare. Sorry. That's John's cover he did for Gasp when we originally did it.
Oh,
So now the
wow.
problem with this cover,
Yep.
and this kind of it was an issue of ours. John said, "Hey, I love what you guys are doing. I want to do a cover." He didn't charge us anything for it. He gave us this cover. It was a piece that somebody had commissioned, and they decided they didn't like it. He says, "I think it fit perfect with the cigarette and the trach and called Gasp." So super excited about that. But we had one of our artists that was in the book was so offended with that cover. That we had to run a variant cover for it, if you will. So,
Wow.
but I love that cover. It's amazing.
That's awesome. So, all right. So, let's see, you got an online store. So I'm just assuming this is where people can just buy stuff. Yep.
Yeah, they can buy different things. These are different. I will tell you that's Drew Hayes' cover right there on the far right. If everybody remembers
Cool.
Drew Hayes from I, Lucifer, Poison Elves. Super excited. It was a piece I never got to run from him, run, f yeah, from him. And so I was excited that I had it and could still do. And then, of course, the middle cover was the Friday 13th homage. And then you got Sam Payne. And then you got some of our original issues down below as you're going down a little bit about them. So there was the original series. Oh, and there's Gasp, a much better shot of it. Very
Oh, there
few
we
of
go.
those exist, and that's why they're out of stock. I only have like two or three of those totally left, but it's an amazing piece. So,
Boris Vallejo. Oh man. Joe Linzer, we know him too. He's good friends with us too. Actually, I'm excited. I'm going to Heroes in a couple weeks. I'm excited to see him and Christine. I haven't seen them in a while.
hey, when you're at Heroes, please stop by and see us. We are set up at Heroes Con.
Excellent. I will definitely do that. I will definitely do
If
that.
you know where Chrissy Zulu's booth is last year, that's exactly where our booth is. So
I don't, but I will try to find you.
we were very close to Jimmy last year.
Okay. All
So
right.
there's our a little bit of a story about us with Jay. A little bit is it talks about what Resolute Bliss means, but really what we did was Resolute is R, RB, Rick, Brad. And we were trying to come up with a way of putting all this together and make it make sense so that we were partners together. It was just trying to finish a story. And we got into this, and more people kept saying, "Hey, we want to know what happened with this story. Finish it." So we're finishing it, and then we're putting a bunch of other stuff out. We're doing this as self-actualization. We know that we won't make a bunch of money off this. That's not the goal. Our goal is to put out some fun stories and do some crazy stuff.
Cool.
Hit that friends because you're going to see somebody
Oh,
that's
this is cool. Drew Moss, Inyuk
you're going to see a guy you know very well since we were talking about him a second ago.
Lee. There's Jimmy Palmiotti. There's Amanda Connor. Oh, man. Mark Brooks. Woo! Joe Rubinstein. Howard Chaykin.
Our
Oh, man.
favorite.
Oh, man.
So we haven't
That's.
updated that page. We got a lot more, but it's me that does the website and I get to it as fast as I can.
Wow, this is awesome.
So we have a cover by Rubinstein, just so you know. We have a cover by Inhook. Jimmy has done a cover. Trying to think who else on that page is. I have a piece I'm running by Sabine Rich. Let's see on that page. Amanda, I need to approach Amanda because I think she's one of the most talented people you've ever seen draw. So, But we thought it was kind of fun. You know, we do comic books for fun, but it's also nice to meet some really nice people along the way and get to know them.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love Mark Brooks's the social media account. It's hilarious.
It is.
So.
Like the person I didn't put on there is Chris Bakula. Met him.
Oh,
He's
nice.
doing a cover for us as well. He just confirmed that a couple of weeks ago. He's going to have it done in the fall. So unbelievably excited about that.
Awesome. All right, so you have contests that you run.
So we're running a little contest. We have insights, our little logo. We want people to reinterpret what they think that is. He's actually going to be in a story at one point. Everybody keeps going the alien route. You're about to hit the one that's a superhero, which is kind of neat. But so we're just doing a little bit of different stuff, mixing it up, trying to do some different things to keep people engaged into our page and give us a reason why they want to look at our page, I guess.
That's kind of cool. All
And if you
right.
go to
Contact.
the more, it
Oh,
actually.
ooh, that's a lot.
Yeah, you don't have to hit, but it breaks down each one of our stories. Pretty much the same imagery. It talks a little bit more in depth about each one of them. So if people want to, like, hey, tell me a little bit more about Paradox, they could click on that and they would learn a lot more about Paradox or Into the Woods or any of that stuff.
Well, here's the important part for people. So, wanted writers and artists. Now, here's my question, because I have a lot. I've helped out some other publishers in the past, like at booths, like for cons and stuff. And it's been a 50-50 on this question. So the question is, when you're looking for writers and artists, are you looking for them individually or are you looking for them as a package only? Because some
No.
publishers only take them as a package, like if it's a completed work already, and some will take either or.
So here's the deal. And I want to be very, very transparent about this. When we did Gasp, it was whatever you want to do kind of thing. And
Okay.
that's why it was so fun. And we're not actually done with this page. You just
Okay.
probably may have realized that. But our goal was the reason I put this up there is like, hey, if you're a writer and you've not found that right artist yet, or if you're an artist and you don't want to write, or if you do both, it doesn't matter. If you want to send us something, we'll run like a little story. And that's why I have Gasp Into the Woods that you just saw. I'm actually going to run six to eight page stories. It's going to be a 40 page book at the end of each Gasp. And we've already, and it's going to be that'll be the very first one. And it's going to be an eight-page story by a writer, the very first one, by a writer that I met that I had to find an artist for. And I put them together, and he is doing his eight-page story. He owns it. It's his rights. I own the publishing rights to those eight pages. But after that, if he wants to spin it off on his own, he can. If he wants us to help it with it, we can. It's just a way of getting more people some notoriety. There's a lot of people that work their butts off that can't seem to get anybody to notice their stuff. There's a lot of people that I think deserve a shot. I think everybody deserves a shot, I should say. But why not share the wealth with everybody and try to get us all a little notoriety or a little national attention? And a lot of these guys don't know how to connect the dots, is where it comes down to. And especially the writers, they really struggle on connecting the dots. And artists, if they don't write, struggle to connect the dots. So we take whatever we can. If people want to do it, we'll work with you. And like I said, our very first foray into this is when we do Into the Woods Gasp. We have an eight-page story by somebody that we're trying this with, and we're going to talk a lot about it in the comic. But I did this originally with the Gasp, and it was successful. It was fun.
So, I know we only have like 8 days till the convention, but if you have any kind of like a flyer or a pamphlet or postcard or something that talks about this specific option, and you can get it to me by like next Thursday, like, and you give me like about 100 of them. 100, well, even like 200, because then I'll put some on our free table at the show. I will make sure every single one of our artists in our artist alley at our con gets one of these, because there's some hella good talent that comes to our con that I think doesn't think or doesn't know how to find opportunities like this. And I would love to be able to be like, here is an opportunity. Just take the leap. Worst case, you get say no, but take the leap. And there's some really hella good guys. Like, I don't know if you've seen our poster for this convention year, like the Godzilla swipe that we had done.
I saw the Godzilla, yes.
Yeah, so that's a local artist that did that for me. Like, I own that piece. Like, him and his wife do an original graphic novel. They have another book they're coming out with. There's another guy that does a book called Death Drones that's great, that I think is should be looking at like a publisher instead of a just self-publish. But it's one of those things that like, I don't know that they ever think about looking for that kind of opportunity. And this is
I agree with you.
serendipitous.
Well, and once again, we're not making any promises. And ironically, I am shocked how few people have jumped on this when they find out, when they understand it a little bit better. Like I said, the guy that's doing 8 pages, he's like, "You mean I can, you'll help me get an artist?" Like, got one for you. He's like, "Okay." And he's like, "And how much are you going to charge me for this?" I'm not charging you anything for it. And the goal is if you do well, then that's awesome. You'll remember me later on. My stuff might not do well, but yours may, and that's awesome for you. And we're not competing against you. We want you to get out there. And it's just a nice opportunity. Like I said, the gasp the first time we did it, it was shocking how well it did and how many people came up to me and said, "That was really cool." Now, we had a couple problems with it that I didn't know. I was much younger at that point, and we fixed all that. And the next gasp, the new one I'm doing, is not as big and as adventurous as that. It starts out with a story by me, but we think that we can help a lot of these small publishers. We're actually our small creators, writers, and artists. We're actually taking that a step further. This Saturday, we are having the first Independent Comic Coalition meeting during our launch party. And what that simply means is we have invited every publisher that are creator or anybody within a 4-hour drive of Knoxville, Tennessee, which is where we're located. It's like, "Hey, if you want to come to this meeting, we don't know what's going to happen at this meeting. We're not going to push anything at this meeting. There's no money involved in this meeting. Nobody's owning anything at this meeting. But if you want to come and see how that we can all work together and see if we can create a blueprint to help us all later on, or to get your stuff out, or to get more notoriety, or to gain some national attention, come to this meeting. This is what we're going to try to do."
That's awesome. All right, let's go to the Kickstarter page. All right, so firstly, let me refresh this, because last time I refreshed it, you guys went up like $100.
Oh, well, then keep refreshing it for the next 5, 10 minutes.
Nope. Ah, nothing. Ah, jeez, come on.
You jinxed it.
But I mean, you're only $600 away. That's not bad at all.
Extreme. So we just kicked this off. Of course, everybody's going to hop on stuff like this when it's early on. If you notice, it's going for 25 days. It has 25 days left. It was 30 days total. It ends at the end of Heroes Con because we're actually going to try to talk to a lot of people at Heroes Con, show some different artwork, show copies of the book. So Heroes Con is going to be our big push at the very end. That's why it's timed the way it is. So we're trying a little bit of a marketing tactic here. But to be over 70% of the way within just a couple of days, which once again, I know is when you're going to get the majority of it,
Right.
super excited about that.
Okay, let's see what your tiers look like.
Yeah, now this is my first time I've ever done tiers. For people that are Kickstarter savants, you can probably tear me apart. I was just trying to do the best I could to make it work.
Well, this is kind of what we do, is we go through the Kickstarter and we kind of talk about like the different tiers, and we kind of, because we're, as retailers, we look for certain things, and then as customers, we look for certain things, and we kind of like are like, oh, that's kind of cool. That's like, so we'll give you honest feedback
Please,
of,
please do.
as a retailer side too. So the
Hold
digital
on, I'm grabbing pen
package,
and
that's
paper for
cool.
this.
Digital package. Okay, regular package. So 32 pages. It's not bad.
Now we are trying to do a distribution. We were going to be distributed through Diamond. I don't want to go through all of that, but
Yeah.
we
We don't need to
purposely
go through
pulled
that.
back.
You're
But
okay.
we are working with Massive right now.
Oh, cool.
Hopefully we can be distributed through Massive. We are going to work on a retailer package because we are working with some very close stores here in East Tennessee. So we think that retailers are the lifeblood. I managed a comic book shop for many years as a kid and stuff, and I mean, retailers are your lifeblood. I mean, they just are.
Yep,
And
that
so
is
we actually
legit.
changed all of this because of Kickstarter and of Diamond. This is actually not our original strategy. It was supposed to be Diamond first, and then Diamond made their announcement. That's why I said, then I had to change it and go Kickstarter. And then as I'm working the deal with Massive, and we all know that, Penguin and everybody else is a little bit harder to get into, right? Lunar, it's a little bit more difficult an issue right now, so.
All right, so at tier four, you get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 copies for $85. Right?
Yes.
Okay, so that's what? How much is that per book?
I'm looking for my calculator.
85 divided by 6,
Like 12,
14.
13 bucks?
14, 17 book
Okay.
plus $30 shipping. So,
Correct.
okay.
Plus, and that's where you get the variant. That's the only place, by the way, you can get the Dejan exclusive variant cover. It's going to be the Virgin. It's
Okay.
also the J. Lee cover, which we are printing. It's truly going to be a 1 of 10 deal.
Okay. You have 9 backers on that one. That's pretty good. This is the deluxe package. So this one you get the Dijon. You get an enamel pin.
Then, and it's a really a nice enamel pen.
Signed creator stamped
So
11
we
by
did a
14. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, we thought that would be kind of neat. Something to give people a little differently if they liked a page and thought it was really cool. Hopefully, they could get that page as a choice depending if we sell any or not. So I actually think Tier 6 is the best package.
Okay, so this is a exclusive enamel
You're getting the art.
pen, main cover, an original black and white inked page. That is pretty cool.
So you get
So,
a page that is actually in that book that has been done, the original page. I think they're almost all signed by the artist. I mean, one or two might not be, but you're getting the original page.
yep.
Original art is already expensive,
I
and
was just
then.
gonna say, like, for those people who don't know, like, original art can go anywhere from a low end page is gonna be like $100, and that's like a beat up old, like, not like stained up, like, crap page. A really nice, like, key page with like a high end character, you're looking like $2,000. Like, for like something really good. So like $200 to $300 for like a page of something like this, not too bad, actually.
I mean, you're talking about it's one of a kind. There's only one in the
Yeah.
world.
Oh yeah.
Will either be done by Eric Treadaway, which owns the Four Horsemen. It's the only art he's ever done is Paradox. And he's super excited to see how this works out. Or it's by Les L. Garner, who is of Apocalypse Girl fame on the new series Brides, which is up there on Kickstarter right now. And either way, there's only what I have 21. Is that what it's only 21 are available. And that's because three were already sold. And so I couldn't do 24 or 24. I had to do 21 or 21. So.
Okay, my question is, where's your retailer package?
I do not have a retailer. You've busted me on this. This is awesome.
Oh, retailer packages every time. That's the one we look for.
So you tell me what a retailer package should be. How about that?
most of the time when we see retailer packages, because most stores, so stores like ours are like a unicorn, okay? Because we have six stores. They are massive. They're all like the smallest store we have is 2,000 square feet. The largest store we have is 14,000 square feet. So,
Holy,
oh,
that's
yeah.
huge.
Yeah, it's huge. And then we have two warehouses. We're like the third largest conglomerate of comics in the country. It's crazy. And we have everything in between. So, for a store like ours, we would normally order. Like if it's an indie book that we've never heard of and we're just supporting some people that we like, we're gonna order 10 to 20 books depending on how awesome the book is looking, right? Because we can spread it out over those six stores. Because two of the stores don't really move this kind of stuff, but the other four might work, especially for a number one, we'll take a stab. So we'll order three to five per those stores. So, most smaller stores, a good retailer tier is about five books. So, if you
Okay.
can make a package of five books for like 40 to 50% off the cover price, because that's what we would normally get at like a Diamond or a Lunar, that's what a retailer looks for. So, and we'll pay shipping. That's fine. But that's kind of the thing. Like, we don't need extra crap in there. Like, we don't need the enamel pins. We don't need it. You can add that on as an add-on, and we'll pay for that extra. Like, we have a buddy, Dennis Robinson, who does Lycan. I don't know if you've ever read his or seen his werewolf book,
I
Lycan.
have actually,
Yeah.
yes.
I just found my shirt actually that I got as a Kickstarter backer, and I forgot that it glows in the dark. And I went to bed and I turned the lights off and I was like, oh man, this thing is bright. It was like really bright. Like it was so bright I could like I actually woke my wife up. It was weird. But that was one of the things that I thought was cool that I could get as a Kickstarter backer was I was like, oh, a shirt. I'll buy a shirt to back it and I'll add that part on, right? So the retailer part of I can get five or six of these at a discount, and then I can put them in my. If I have one store, five or six is a good number to start at. If I have multiple stores, I can do how many retailer tiers can I multiply? So if there's a multiplier to be like, I can do X amount of times of this, cool. That's even better. So, that's.
So, John, I tell you what, because I appreciate you guys. I really do. And it seems like we know a lot of the same people, and that's really neat too for me. Tell me exactly what would be a perfect retailer pack, not perfect for just you, but a perfect retailer package, and I'll have it built and put on there by Saturday.
I would say like a five book package. Like, so if you did like five regular covers and one variant, like, so six books total. So five regular covers and one variant in there. So if it's five regular and one, I don't know, like, is the Jay Lee the first variant, right?
That's the one that's the most rarest of the group. So I would probably rotate that in and out to make
Yeah.
sure I kept true to my total copies I printed.
Yeah, then I'd probably not do that one. I'd probably throw a different one in there.
Like a Drew Hayes or
Yeah.
the homage to the Friday the 13th. I get you.
Yeah, I would actually say the Friday the 13th one would actually be good because horror sells.
Right.
So that would probably be a good one to have in there. Or you could do both. You could do a seven book package. Like and just be like, you get five regular covers, these two variants, and it's all 40 to 50% off, whatever, and that's it. And
Okay.
then obviously, like we pay shipping, and boom, there it is.
And
So,
then they would need to prove that they're stores, correct?
yeah. So normally, like I think that it's usually on the person running the Kickstarter to kind of like. See that the address, like I think most of the time they just kind of Google the address and see that the shipping address is an actual brick and mortar. because like I use my I use my personal Kickstarter email, but I have it shipped to the store and I pay for it with my company card.
Okay.
So it's, but I can also pay for stuff with my personal card and have it sent to my house if I do a personal buy. So that way I don't have to have two different accounts, right? So it is what it is. I think I can actually put it in as New Dimension Comics if I do it as a business buy. But and I can do it like I think it also in the address is like John Engel care of New Dimension Comics. So there's that too. But like I did the backer we did the backer for Image for the Transformers hardcover for the compendiums they're doing. And like we had to like supply our lunar number. We had to supply like our address, like all kinds of stuff, because they're running it through Lunar anyway. But we had to supply all that stuff before we were allowed to even back the project, like before they would take our backer. So.
So, John, I love your idea, and I did not mean to slight retailers in any form or fashion. Like I said, I threw up this Kickstarter. I didn't want rushing it is the wrong terminology, but like I said, we were going through Diamond. We had already worked it out. We were 100% in,
Yeah.
and then this kind of happened. It's like I'm a little scared how this is going to play out, and we're going to get caught in a weird situation, and that's why we went the Kickstarter route. Like I said, I am trying to work with Massive right now, but I did need to put a retailer option. And the reason it's actually important for us is we have so much local retailer support with Nirvana Comics, Comics Exchange here in Knoxville. I mean, Comics Exchange was one that was actually the first people that pledged $200 just in memory and wanted independent comics to survive. I mean, that's they're like, we don't want anything from this. We want to pledge, and then we'll order stuff afterwards. And so I'm just, my whole point is there's a lot of retailer support already, and I want to always show retailers that we're thankful for that. Retailers and people have got to realize if you cut out the retailers, you're not going to have comics anymore. Kickstarter is not going to be the way of saving you in the future. You've got to have those retailers out there pushing comics, being a part of it. Talking to you about comics, giving that experience, it's critical.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of the deal. Like people don't like it's almost like 'cause we also deal with like collectible card games too. You know, people like come in every day and they're like, "Do you have Pokemon? Do you have Magic?" Stuff like that. And you know, these companies can't keep up with the demand, especially for like Pokemon right now. And we're like, "What happens when they kind of push it out of the stores and they're just are selling it online through their own Amazon stores or whatever, and they don't back they kind of stopped helping the retailers, like because Wizards of the Coast kind of stopped doing that, and like they've seen the in-store play go way down, and then they wonder where that money is, you know, but
Right.
yeah. And then they wonder why the retailers are all up in arms about stuff, but
Yeah, it seems to be, you know, the retailers, once again, I was a manager for a while at a comic store. Retailers are the group that gets easiest cut out the fastest. I mean, you know, customers get confused sometimes, like, well, you paid $50 for that comic you're selling for $100. Yeah, but they're trying to keep the lights on them. But they'll sit there and say, "So you should sell it to me for $50." Why would I do that?
Right.
Because you don't go to the grocery store and say, "Hey, you paid $2 for that prime rib. Sell it to me for $2. Don't sell it to me for $20." It's the same concept.
Right.
Retailers need to keep their lights on and need to sell their product, and it's they're not ripping you off or anything like that. They're just trying to keep the lights on, and you want them to keep the lights on because they'll keep comic books on the shelf and keep talking to you about comic books. That's what we want. We want the experience. There was a Big Bang episode one time. Sheldon came in, he was talking to Stewart. He's like, "You know, I can buy all this stuff much cheaper online. I come here for the experience and the personal service." That's what comic books give you, so, or comic book stores give you.
Yep, absolutely. And
We try.
as the regional manager, I always tell my staff whenever I see them, like, just hanging out behind the counter talking to each other and not actually going out and engaging the customers, I'm like, remember, without those guys, you don't have a job. So you may want to go out there and talk to these guys. And then they look at me like I'm the asshole, and I'm like, well, you remember that.
It's
Remember that.
important. It's the experience. I mean, it really is. It's a community. People want it, expect it, and it's part of the process. And I don't understand why I'll walk into stores. Obviously, I know every store within a 40, 50-mile radius. And Knoxville actually has the distinguished notoriety of having more comic book stores within 30 miles radius than any other place in America, if I understand correctly. We have
Shut
15
up.
stores.
Wait, hold on. How many?
15 stores and a 30-minute drive.
30 minutes. Okay, hold on. Hold on.
Can you beat it?
I.
PA's got to be close here, or
Pittsburgh's
this
going to
is
be
Pittsburgh's
close.
close, yeah.
Pittsburgh's going to be
Because
close.
there's,
Hold on.
if you're
Hold
counting
on.
New Dimension, like, we're close there.
Let me do maps.
And
Let
we're
me
such a
do.
small city is the funny thing.
Okay, we're gonna do Point Park, Point State Park, because
I love this.
that is literally the center of the city, right? Comic book store. Let's see what comes up.
I could think of five. I'll find another
Okay.
one from
Nobody
that
thinks
point.
of. So there are. Actually, let me just do it as
While you're
Google.
looking that up, I'll throw out another little tidbit. We consider Knoxville kind of everybody is very, possessive of their area, which you should be. This is the area where Men in Black came from. Lowell Cunningham was a comic book writer. He lives here in Knoxville, always from Knoxville. Quentin Tarantino had a little time here in Knoxville. Denton Tipton, who has written so many IDW Dynamite books, Knoxville guy, worked at the comic book shop. Of course, we have
Seven
seven different
points.
publishers that are all within, I don't know, 2 hour radius are coming in to meet with us on Saturday. So we feel pretty blessed with the area that we have.
All right. So if I go
Pittsburgh.
from, I'm gonna do from Pittsburgh. Let me see if it changes it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So it says if I do 30 minutes from Pittsburgh, it says 8, but that's already wrong because there's two of those. That's 9. There's another one of those. That's 10. There's another one of those. 11. I bet it's about the same. I bet it's if it's not the same, it's more in Pittsburgh.
That's just amazing if you think about it. There are these areas, these little pockets that have a lot more than you would think that they have in them, whether it's Pittsburgh or Knoxville, and they become these little comic meccas, which is I think is an awesome thing. So all the more reason why we're trying to bring these publishers in together and come up with some strategies and try to pull everybody together and create some blueprints for everybody.
Yeah, because Jim Rugg did like a map of like comic book stores within an hour of Pittsburgh, and I think it was something like 35.
Oh, we would definitely not have 35 an hour because we actually start getting sparse because we go to some rural areas. I mean, we're 3 hours from Nashville, almost 2 hours from Asheville, so we don't have any other big pockets to pull from at all.
Like it's super weird. There's like five or six like immediately in this like in the city limits, right? And then like right outside the city limits, there's like another 10. It's like boom, like we're just around it. And it's crazy, but Pittsburgh's always been like a weird pocket of comic, like just comic book energy, I guess. Because there's just a lot of guys that live here, like Ron Frenz, Pat Olaf, Scott McDaniel, Howard Bender, Robert Hack, oh man, Don Simpson, Jim Rugg.
Oh, hey, Don was in the original Gasp, by the
Oh
way.
yeah? Oh, that's
Yeah.
right. I did know that. Tom Scioli. I know some guys I'm missing, but like Lee Weeks used to live here. Joe Jusco used to live here.
Joe,
There's a
who? Who's that guy? I've
right,
never heard
exactly,
of
right?
him.
There's a bunch of other guys that used to live here, like especially back in like the 90s. So it was very weird because like the old Pittsburgh Comic Con was like a huge. That's why it was so huge when it was here.
Right. I forgot about how big Pittsburgh Comic Con was.
Yeah, so it was very weird because like that was so massive at that point, and then a bunch of guys moved away, and now it's.
Now, I'm making a little bit of a joke, but it's actually true. Actually, one of the best creators and writers came out of Pittsburgh.
Oh yeah?
My whole family's from Pittsburgh.
Oh yeah? No way.
We're all Pittsburgh people originally before they moved to the South, so there you go.
Well, you're always welcome to come home and visit and hang out.
Actually, if you notice, I have to share, this is a jersey that my cousin made for me, which I wear on podcast video streams, video casts, whatever. It's actually after the Pittsburgh Penguins, which is my favorite
Oh,
team.
okay.
So I'll show a little bit more
Oh,
that you
it's a
can
Resolute
see.
Bliss. Okay. That's cool.
So for my birthday, my cousin, who's the B on Bliss, actually bought this for me. He's like, "Hey, start wearing this. It shows you love Pittsburgh Penguins and you love hockey." So yeah,
Awesome.
we're big Pittsburgh fans.
There
There
I
you
was born on Mario Lemieux's 16th birthday.
go. No kidding.
I
That's
was
obviously
destined to be a Penguins fan.
he is definitely probably one of my top two players of all time.
Oh yeah, for sure. So, but he's yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, I know some guys that like work for the Penguins. Like, it's awesome. I love this city. It is. I grew up about 2 hours north of here, and I've lived here almost 20 years now, and it's just in my blood. Like, all the rest of my family moved out by Philly, and I'm like, nope, I'm disowning you all. You can keep your Wawa and go out there. I'm a Sheetz guy, and it's just a thing. But comics are just a thing that you find the right people, and it's almost like being in a fraternity, right? Like, you just find the right people and you just click, right? You're just like, oh, you're a comic guy. I can smell it. I can smell it on you, right?
You may want to use a different analogy
I was
there.
thinking the exact
We
same
don't want that. Come
thing.
on, we
Oh,
just haven't
fair.
thought
Captain
enough about
Sweatpants when
that
he was
kind of
saying that.
stuff.
That's fair. You're right. Yeah, you're right. I don't need to
I
do
just
that. Okay.
remember my first convention ever, and that was the thing that lingered the most was the
The
smell of
smell was
guys.
what lingered the most.
Well, again, I have sensitive sinuses, so as soon as something hits me, my eyes water, I start sneezing, and if it's really bad, I'm like, I gotta leave. I was like, I can't be here. This is gross. I'm gonna get sick.
Fair.
And I just remember turning to my girlfriend that I'm like, yeah, we're going. She's like, we just paid to get in. I was like, we're going. And I'm like, I don't
Wow.
care. I was like, I wanna explore. I was like, but I was like, I gotta put something under my nose, that stuff that coroners put under their nose so they don't have to smell the body, something. I was like,
Wow.
because that was That's they,
pretty.
whoever was there, it was rank. And it was like being in like old school high school, like after gym class, personified. Like, it was gym class. You add on like that chlorine smell after the pool, and then you top
Oh.
it off with more sweat.
Oh.
It was something like that. It was a
Oh.
nasty, nasty thing. And I'm like, it sticks in my mind sometimes when I go to shows. Now, people are better. Like, I've noticed the last few, like the last decade, people aren't nearly as bad, or that stigma is gone, thank God. But
It definitely was one of those things of, oh, that's an actual thing. Okay. It was like,
I think
please.
Justin's been traumatized. I'm feeling
I
some therapy needs.
have a lot of traumas,
Yeah.
in general. But I go to the gym. That's how I work out my therapy.
I do too. I'm with you on
I just play a lot of guitar. That's how I.
that. I go to the gym or I add another tattoo. It's one or the other.
Yep. So, all right. So, how do people find Resolute Bliss on social media so they can follow you?
We actually have Facebook, Instagram, YouTube channel. The quickest way to go to it is obviously www.resolutebliss.com. You can go to the bottom of the page, hit any of our social media icons. It'll take you immediately to it. We keep our Facebook up pretty regularly every day. My cousin does Instagram. He tries to stay all over that. We constantly try to put stuff up on YouTube. We've put actually my last pitch. This was our book we just got today, our tour edition. Don't know if you can see it, but the making of it was put up on our page today, which is really cool. I'll show you something neat. We put a Jay Lee cover on the inside of it. We did a double cover.
Nice.
So we're really excited about that. It actually is a wraparound cover that we have. It's 40 pages, not 23, 24,
Woo.
28. It's a 40-page book. I'll show one other thing. That's a Robert Pope cover in the back, who I love that guy. You know
Nice.
Robert Pope. And you just talked about seeing Joe Michael Linsner. There you go. There's a piece.
Nice.
So.
That's definitely Joe.
But we just got this. Yeah, it's definitely true. You can,
Yeah.
except Wacky Racers. I had to pick up Wacky Racers the other day because I knew that he had done the cover. It finally came in. Diamond finally dropped it. And I was so happy to get it. It's like, this throws me off. But if you look at it long enough, you see that's definitely Joe.
Yep. It's very weird, but you're like, yes.
Well, I was looking for the tears on the car or something.
Right? Because like it's everywhere except there. So, oh,
But
I think
yeah, go to
even.
resolutebliss.com. That's the best place. But like I said, we are under Resolute Bliss Publishing on social media. Love for people to follow us. We will keep people updated. I tell you what, all kidding aside, if you tell me where to send those cards to, I'll send those cards. I'll put something together for you.
Cool.
I'll have Office Depot do a drop ship to you and
Great.
send it to you in time for the show, because if I make it, send it from here, you won't get it, but I'll send it from Office Depot and you'll have it wherever you tell me to send it to.
Awesome. We'll stay on after this and we'll make sure we get that address for you.
Awesome. And
So it'll be
retailer
good.
package is going up on Saturday, so I expect to see a sale.
Oh, you send me the email and let me know what's up. I'll make sure it'll
Like
get
you're
back.
talking to the right person, because he's a sucker. Every person we bring on, he buys retail.
I
Yeah.
do appreciate the feedback. There's no kidding about that. So seriously, thank you.
It's all right. You're not the first person that we've had to be like, where's the retailer package? And then they've been like, hold on. And then like 3 days later, we're like, okay, now we'll back your pack. Yeah,
Well,
we'll
that's
back your
awesome,
project.
though. Well, this is where we all come together and we need feedback. It's great that you can be a fan, you can be a retailer. We need it. I mean, if you want to survive, it's just like comic book shops. Comic book shops need to be there for a reason, and we need to keep them in business.
Yeah, we appreciate all the support as well, 'cause like we appreciate the support of having a retailer package because that helps us be able to support you. So it's,
Absolutely.
you know, it's still that give and take, and it's just cutting out the middleman of the distributor. So, and you know, it's fine for us, like we're cool with it. So,
That middleman had a monopoly 6 years ago, and now they're on bankruptcy. I don't understand. So,
yeah, but you know what? I do miss ordering just from one catalog. I will tell you
I
that.
listen.
Oh.
Previews was my Toys R Us catalog every month,
Oh
for 12
man.
months a year. So,
Yeah, oh man, I miss
oh, you
it.
had a
So.
Toys R Us catalog? I just remember Kaufman's or Kmart or
Montgomery Ward.
Montgomery
Wait a minute, did you all not
Ward.
have a Toys R Us in that Yeah,
area?
we did. Yeah,
Oh,
I did.
we did.
I
They
would
used to
always
work for
drop
them,
that
actually.
catalog about 90 days before Christmas every year, and I'd spend forever flipping through those pages. But it reminded me of previews, because every month you'd get that preview. It's like, oh, I want that. Oh, they're telling me I gotta have that. So. I literally, when I was managing the store before I was a regional manager, I would actually like when I get it, I would t open it, I would take a highlighter, and I would actually circle the stuff I definitely wanted to order. And then I would be like, I'd pass it on to my assistant and be like, all right, circle the stuff you want to make sure I order too. And then by the end of the month, we would just, when I would do the order, I would just flip through and be like, okay, he wants this, I want this, blah, blah, blah. And we would just order it up. And that's how we do it and make sure we
And then
got
you
it.
end up
So.
taking it home.
And then it, and then it, and then it, we get it like, and then like a year later, we'd be like, why the hell did we order this? Did you order this? And then I'd be like, I'll buy it, whatever. 'Cause like that's how I ended up with like a stuffed, wee baby Seamus that I have over there, and like a somewhere I have a stuffed, like a plushy, holy hand grenade of Antioch somewhere. So, but the recovering Catholic in me totally loves that. So.
Oh, if you're a recovering Catholic, you'll love my book. So
Oh, then excellent. Then I'm definitely going to read it. It's going to be
it's a
great.
little deep, by the way. It's not the quick stuff. I'm not trying to appease the whole world. I'll be totally honest about that. It's I went and had lots of pretty pictures put in it for a reason, because I want the art to be beautiful. But there's lots of pretty words in there that sometimes get a little bit laborious. But that's because we're trying to talk a little bit about Catholicism, talk a little about Sumerian lore, a little bit of weird history. But we're trying to mess everything up so that by the end the reader says, "Oh, I get that now." And that was the whole point.
I'm in. This sounds exactly like the kind of stuff I love to read. So
It's a
I'm
little
good.
different, but cool. I'm glad to hear that.
All right. It sounds very Brian K. Vaughan, which is why I like the which is it sounds like that kind of vein, and that's my
That'd
kind
be
of my
awesome. I'd
jam.
like to be at that vein. I'm not sure it's
Well,
that
I'll let you know once it comes out. It'll be great. So,
good,
all right. Thank you so much for coming on, Rick.
thank you.
Everybody, remember next weekend is Three Rivers Comic Con. We have a blood drive coming up at the Pittsburgh Mills this weekend. And then next Thursday, we have our friends from the Comicsburg coming on to do one last show before the con as our. As our one last night of peace before Justin and I lose our minds for a weekend, it will be great. I promise. So,
It's called 12 pack of rain and Red Bull and God knows what else.
it's I get a case of Monster, he gets a case of rain, just Scott gets a case of Red Bull, Todd gets a case of beer. That's how this works. Like, that's how we roll our weekend. But thanks a lot, guys. Remember to support your local comic shop. If it's us, it's even better. And we'll see you next week. Thanks a lot.